Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host, and we are now joined on the telephone by Dr. Liza Ortiz, Tuolumne County Interim Public Health Officer. And Dr. Ortiz, you recently came back to the area. Welcome back to this position.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been about a week. A very busy week.
I bet. What are your early thoughts about stepping into this position of interim health officer after having previously served as the health officer between 2015 and 2017?
Yeah. So first off, Dr. Eric Sergienko, who served as interim for a couple of months, who is the Mariposa health officer, has done an amazing job and has really helped out working in that interim position during a literal emergency. And so lots and lots of credit to him. Lots and lots of credit to this amazing public health team who I'm so excited to be working with again. Eric is staying on for a regional effort as well. So we continue to collaborate just as we continue to collaborate with our neighbors to the north and every direction. I knew I was stepping into a literal public health emergency, that the biggest emergency in public health any of us have ever seen in the U.S. It wasn't as if I was jumping in blind. And part of the reason I was willing to do that was because I had this position before, and I, still know a lot of the people and still have that relationship with them. So it's obviously an unprecedented time, but I'm happy to be able to help out.
And what about possibly permanently?
I don't think any of us can look too far in the future right now. Things are changing real fast. So I'm just making short-term plans for now.
Okay. And what are your thoughts about how the pandemic is currently being contained locally?
Yeah, locally, we are very lucky and have been able to benefit from the governor's orders to stay at home for everyone in the state, and that's allowed us to stay in containment mode right now. We say containment mode meaning that we don't have community transmission as far as we can tell at this time, and we've been able to have the resources to do contact tracing on all the cases that we have had, and we're still working, not in the surge mode is what we call it. So far, doing okay, but also recognizing that that is a huge sacrifice on everyone's part to completely change how they go about their day-to-day lives.
And since you brought it up, the surge, how is the county preparing for a possibility of a surge in cases?
Yeah, so some of this is done way ahead of time. We have emergency preparedness work that we do all the time, and some of it is just building on, we purposely, have healthcare coalition meetings all the time. We purposely have plans well in advance. And then as you come up to an emergency, especially this kind of an emergency that doesn't literally happen from one day to the next, you have some time to say, okay, this was our plan. This is what we have in terms of the information of what's coming. How do we adjust that? And we feel comfortable that we are doing everything we can to help our healthcare partners and to inform the public as much as we can. It's really about collaboration with our partners.
One of the things you were just talking to me about is the healthcare workers and having enough of the workers to help if we do get that surge.
Yes. So we'll put out another plug for asking any healthcare workers to consider registering with either the California Disaster Healthcare Volunteers or the normal disaster healthcare volunteer system, which is something that we have all the time. The California registry will hook you up with your local DHV. That way we know what resources, we have available locally. Those healthcare workers who are local are the best at being able to respond locally. You're nearby, you know the system, you know the people. So the more local volunteers we can get, the better.
In regards to what challenges that we're facing right now, what's the biggest challenge, do you think?
Well, we are looking at everybody all over this country making massive sacrifices, and we are super sensitive to what that means to people. We know that they are changing their everyday life. They are changing their economic circumstance temporarily, we hope. And a lot of people are struggling with not just, you know, the business effects of this, but also, you know, having to be at home and not having the same connections they normally would have, and not being able to do the things that they would normally like to do that help them cope. On our Facebook page, on our county website, on the county's website, there's lots of information about resources to help with that. And the county and city also are doing everything they can to be in touch with people about the economic assistance as well.
And do you think that we've only had the four identified cases with just two county residents testing positive? Do you think it's because of the restrictions that have been put in place that's why the number is that low?
Absolutely. We know that the cases that we've had have, you know, been from people who have, you know, had some travel exposure out of the county and gotten the infection out of the county. So the more people stay at home, the more lives we save.
And you were talking to me also about the importance of the state's roadmap, as it's called.
Yes. So recently on the federal level and on the state level, people have been talking about what do we need to see in order for us to reopen or to come to a new normal. And people should know that we are working on the local level to plan for that. We're collaborating with our state and federal partners and our regional partners, and they will be hearing lots more about that very soon.
Is antibody testing something you anticipate will be available locally anytime soon?
So just like everybody else, we would all be thrilled to have a lot more testing of any variety available as soon as possible. I don't honestly anticipate it happening very soon. We are making really big progress on how quickly the testing we have is turning around and getting us results more quickly. And we're making more progress on how many tests we are running. But it's not as if we anticipate that a huge amount of tests will suddenly become available.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the testing. Is it to where you want it? Do you feel comfortable with the number of tests you have?
No. Nobody in public health thinks that we're doing enough testing. And we are doing everything we can to try to make it go quicker, to increase lab capacity, to increase turnaround time. And that's something that happens on higher levels as well with the state and the feds.
Tell everyone again what you need to do to make sure you're keeping yourself socially distanced and taking the protocols you need to do.
Sure. So what the current recommendations are is to stay at home as much as possible. Only leave your home for essential functions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds with soap and water, or if that is unavailable, use sanitizer that is 60% alcohol content or higher. Try to maintain 6 feet of physical space between you and people outside of your household. If you're unable to do that, you can wear a mask to protect other people. And also just generally, you know, we have a lot of essential workers. If you are an essential worker, stay at home if you're feeling sick and notify your supervisor and contact your medical providers. And generally, all of us all the time should be avoiding being around sick people.
I've heard that with rubber gloves. Do you really want to wear rubber gloves when you go into a store? How much does that matter, wearing the rubber gloves?
The most important thing is to wash your hands with soap and water and to avoid touching your face. People can certainly touch their face and touch things and get contaminated with or without gloves on. So wash your hands.
One last question I was wondering. Is it better to have an antibacterial soap?
It is not. Regular soap and water would be great.
All right. And lastly, what do you want to say to the community?
Thank you so much for cooperating and keeping the rest of the community as safe as possible. we understand that it's a huge sacrifice, but it is really helping. The models of the number of people who are getting sick are significantly improving, and it is saving lives.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's very informative, and we're glad to have you back, Dr. Liza Ortiz. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to help.
Thank you for joining us on Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host. Our guests this weekend have been Columbia College President Dr. Shantanu Bendiopadhyay and Tuolumne County's Interim Public Health Officer Dr. Liza Ortiz. We'll see you right back here next week for another COVID-19 special edition of Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.